Alright, here we are, pure decking number 10, and I'm still getting my levels worked out because I literally just installed this sound card 5 minutes ago. And, well, it's actually an onboard sound card because I took out the sound card I was using, which was messing me up like something fierce, and I found out what it was. It was this other sound card, which is a better sound card, the Windows 7 drivers. Before I go into that, tonight we have Suave, Heavy Metal, and Nox. Hey, guys.
Hey, howdy. All
right, now back to my bitch fest. The sound
this
card...
This edition of Angry Nerds.
Hey.
More...
Hey.
couldn't resist. All right.
There you go. Now, the sound card I was using is a better sound card for Windows XP. The Windows 7 drivers report that they can do all this jack sensing on auto leveling, and well, they really can't. But Windows thinks they can, so you end up with the recording device being all kinds of messed up, and the levels doing this crazier shit than Skype does, which was causing me no end of grief. So I decided like 5 minutes before the show that I wasn't dealing with this shit anymore, and decided to pull the sound card and go with the internal. And it didn't have drivers installed, it wasn't configured, and I'm like leveling it on the fly here. So actually, the waveform looks good now, and I don't think it's popping as much, so we're going to go with this. oh, that's still going. There we go. That said, because we are starting late, we're probably going to skip the break, because it's the last newsreel tonight, and we don't want to roll over that. But, so I thought we would start off tonight with the... probably the most interesting topic to come out this week, and that would be anyone with an iOS 4 device that gets a cellular signal of some sort. So that would be an iPhone or an iPad with a cell in it. My iPad's Wi-Fi only, so my iPad's not doing this, but my iPhone is tracking you. It's actually recording in a file on the phone all kinds of information, like what Wi-Fi access points you've seen, you know, your latitude and longitude, so it's pulling your GPS, and it's keeping all this unencrypted in the phone. It's also syncing this to your desktop, so for all you script kiddies out there, when you pwn somebody's desktop, go and see if you can find their iPhone backup, because then you get a nice log of where they've been ever since they got an iPhone 4. or upgraded their phone to iOS 4, I should say.
Right.
But I did try the program with my iPhone backup. It works.
Well, nice. And that one of the nice things about it is they actually obfuscated the software so that it's actually not as detailed as the actual records. So if you really want to go in
there. Oh, yeah, it's all there.
Yeah. And that's cool. I mean, I understand why they're doing it. It's probably a marketing thing or, you know, when you.
No, I don't understand why they're doing it. Why the fuck are they doing that?
Well, from what my
never expected them not to.
From my understanding, I haven't found any confirmation that this file is actually getting sent back to Apple. Is it?
No, everyone right now is saying nobody thinks it's going anywhere, but it's staying on the phone, and it's going onto your desktop when it backs up the phone.
Like, and it's in your EULA. You agreed to it, so you know it's all right.
Like to me, it seems like it's something that they've put together for some sort of future implementation. Like it's because you know it's absolutely no use to anyone if it's not getting reported anywhere. So either they're planning on reporting it somewhere, or I've got no idea.
I can only think of a couple of good reasons to be doing this. The first and foremost, and what I'm hoping is what's happened, is it's a debug feature back from when they were developing the devices. Because you know Apple has been real crazy about tracking their prototypes. Remember back when the iPhone 4 was still coming out and somebody supposedly got a prototype of it and there was a big fucking deal about all that? Mm-hmm. I think it has something to do with that. and it's a debug feature that just basically got left on.
Facebook?
Oh, that's the other question, isn't it? But I mean, it's tracking all this information. You got to think it was an accident that this thing was left on, unless either, you know, like you said, they're going to start sending it somewhere, which is scary as hell, or the only other thing I can think of you would do with this kind of thing is marketing. But because of the huge privacy concerns and sending off your GPS data, maybe what they were going to do is instead put a program on the phone to parse through and then figure out what ads it should be pulling down and showing you. I mean, I'm still trying to work out how that would actually, you know, work.
You know, like Facebook's been doing that for a while as far as handing off your information, and I'm relatively sure that they can pinpoint with pretty decent accuracy where you're logging into Facebook from, and I'm sure they're passing all that information on.
Yeah, I will tell you right now when you track
tracking if it started showing you the stores you were walking past at the moment, but don't think ads are cool.
It makes me and you listen to any marketing companies. Our customers appreciate what we're doing for them. Yeah, bullshit. But it makes me want to go on. I think it was Deal Extreme. I saw it. I've seen it a couple of places where you can order one of those boxes that you put your phone in and it shields it from all radio signals. It makes me think one of those is suddenly not such a bad investment.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can make those yourself.
I like
yourself
my phone able to, like, receive calls.
Yeah.
That's the
downside,
the
hey? You got to have a good voicemail or something like that to pick up your calls. But, you know, alternatively, you can always just get one of those GPS jammers.
Right. And, I wouldn't think it would be much easier for somebody to write, say, an app and then just have an app that just will randomize the data in that file.
Well, you know that's going to be coming for the jailbroken phones, but you know what else is going to be happening is, remember a few months back, they were finding all these apps that were reporting shit back to home base, like your phone's UID, turning on the microphone, and there was a big deal about that. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how long it's going to be before somebody figures out, oh, yep, that file's there, and this app went and grabbed it and sent it off. And, you know, it was this really popular game, and now they've got all this, and they're selling it to marketing companies. I mean, how long before we get that headline?
Oh, yeah.
If it has been written in before, it will be now.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, now that you mentioned that, I can pretty much...
there.
Because apparently this has been known about for a little while, and I'm sure somebody's written an app out there that's already reporting this back.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to jailbreak my phone and see if I can write an app just so whenever they... just so it reports my location as... Yes.
Excellent.
Where am I?
In space.
Yes. Now...
Oh, you definitely need to do that. But, like, you know, don't randomize it. Make it look really fucked up like you're... You know, spending some time at the bottom of the ocean.
Even exploring the Titanic. You get a great cell phone signal out there.
Marianas Trench and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden you go up into orbit and they're circling around the planet. And then somebody's going to get this data and they're going to plot it out and they're going to be just wondering what the fuck
How
is going
did he
on?
Get from Spain to Antarctica in 15 minutes? He has quantum teleportation devices. And if anybody doesn't know what these sound effects I'm playing are from, it's because we've agreed to no spoilers. Yes. Now, oh, those are too much fun. And they're not going to get old at all.
No. Yeah, they will. Give it like two episodes.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be right up there with...
Toasty!
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's already old.
Really?
Yeah.
I need a new well-done... you know, funny sound effect or something. If anybody has suggestions on good soundboard effects to play to annoy the shit out of these guys, email me, morps@agent-paranoia.com. So,
I don't know, Friday by Melissa Black?
It has to annoy them while still being funny to me. If it's just annoying, I don't want that.
It's somebody who's managed to do auto-tune without actually using software. I was amazed.
What? Dude.
Well, I had avoided listening to it because I knew it was going to be horrible, but then my radio station that I listened to in the morning played a few minutes of it, and I'm like, oh, it's horrible.
the guy who made the damn thing just ran his voice through his guitar.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, you know.
Yeah, that's like the original auto-tune right there.
And he was cool. He's the only one that auto-tune ever did anything for.
Yeah.
But... Well, I mean, on this tracking stuff, am I the only one on this group that actually has an iPhone device? Yep. I mean, I know Lowe's got a touch, but...
Yeah, that'd be correct.
Huh.
Not that they're doing any less tracking with the Android devices. We just haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Android devices
we're not naive.
I'm pretty sure Google's harvesting copious amounts of data from all of the Android users.
Oh, yeah. Look, what is Google's core business?
It's marketing.
They're an advertising company. Yeah. So, I mean.
But keep in mind, Google is an opt-in. So when you get the whole list of permissions that your application needs, it says, oh, by the way, if you want access to this cool app, you have to let us have everything. Okay. Yeah. It's free.
And, of course, nobody reads it. And they're sheep.
Yeah.
So.
I read it. Didn't I say yes, even though I don't?
No, I have actually denied programs that are like, I want access to everything, and then gone and found either a pay or a free program that accesses much less.
Yeah, same here.
Those agreements, they aren't written by actual competent lawyers. A lot of the stuff on them will never hold up. The way that the StarCraft II agreement was worded, that if you use the map editor, Blizzard has the right to demand that you finish the app, and you have 2 weeks to do so.
What?
I think they meant you were supposed to stop using it if you were drawing swastikas or something, or they thought you were. But the way they worded it, you have to finish it.
I do know that they sent a cease and desist to the guy who was making World of StarCraft. He was trying to use the StarCraft II engine and the map editor to make an MMO. And
nice.
They sent him a cease and desist based on copyright grounds, said you're violating our intellectual property. And I'm just sitting there thinking, how?
yeah, that's part of the permissions you're given there.
I guess it was because he was using World of Warcraft stuff in StarCraft. But correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a whole bunch of World of Warcraft models that made it into the StarCraft 2, at least in the single player of the cutscenes. Like, in the dancing girl at the table, like a night elf?
Yeah.
I mean,
night elf dancing.
So I don't know how the hell that happened, but yeah, they sent the guy cease and desist, and so he stopped. But he was using their tool with their game, making a mod for their game, and they still sent him the cease and desist on intellectual property grounds.
I'm thinking maybe if he'd actually sent in a response letter or actually talked to them, they might have given him some dispensation.
No, he did. He sent them a letter saying, hey, guys, I'm doing this because I'm a fan. And they said, yeah, no, you're not.
So then my guess would be that's the fourth IP. They're actually making a StarCraft universe or something. It'd be kind of cool.
Could be, but it seems to me, they would make the argument, because I've read up on tons of this stuff. Usually when you have a company being that aggressive, like Microsoft did the same thing. There was a guy who actually, his name was Mike Rowe. This is several years ago now, but his name was Mike Rowe, and he was a programmer. He wrote little custom programs, and he ran a software company called Mike Rowe Soft, but it was spelled completely different because it was his name.
Yeah.
But he registered Mike Rowe-Soft or something like that, right? And it was like R-O-W-E, M-I-K-E-R-O-W-E, and he got sued by Microsoft, and... You know, when they took it to court, the court actually ended up giving Microsoft the guy's domain.
That's retarded.
Whoa.
Well, and he was trying to say, but it's my name. And it was a, it was something to do, I don't know all the niceties of the, I am not a lawyer. I don't know many lawyers. I don't hang out with lawyers. I do understand they have lawyers available at the EFF, but for some reason they won't talk to me.
I think they did end up making Microsoft pay him, though.
They did. They paid him for it, but he was told he had to pick a different name for his website because it's something about being able to confuse. You know, they're in the same space. They both do software,
right?
And since Microsoft was bigger, basically they won.
But That's still just totally ridiculous. Like, if some guy named John decided to start up an agricultural equipment company, you think John Deere's going to go and sue them?
Yes.
Of course not. That,
well, yeah, yes, yeah. They would. No, and seriously, if you ask the lawyers, where I work, we do have legal counsel, and I talk to them a little bit from time to time just because it's fun. And
right.
I do a lot of reading on this because I want to make sure I understand what I'm doing. But and we'll roll into why when we start hitting the next topic here. But the reason they do that is because if they go, well, yeah, we're going to let Buddy here get away with it because he's, you know, just a guy, and it's, we know he's not a threat to us. He's not even really competing with us, but we're not protecting our IP. Well, then somebody else can come along and do it, and somebody else can come along and do it, and
right.
suddenly they lose the rights to their trademarks. Because in trademark law, if you don't defend it, you can lose your right to it. So if a guy named John tried to start a an outdoor company of hunting deer, so he called it John's Deer or something like that,
mm-hmm.
John Deere Tractor would sue him.
Yeah, I have a lot of issues with that, especially nowadays. Like, we've got more and more people, pretty much, like, if anybody wanted to go out and start a company with their name on it and they've got a relatively common name, odds are they probably can't because somebody's already trademarked it.
Why do you think
there's a lot of companies with the same name in this area?
Yeah, but you've got to be in different
fields, right?
Yeah.
So that you're not competing with each other. But, you know, why do you think you see
Big
so
John's
many
Big John's Pizzeria, Big John's Tractors, and Big John's Big John's?
We're not even going there. I just, you know.
Oh, fuck!
Yeah, and so, anyways. No, what I was going to say, which is, like, completely gone now. I had the thought in my head, and then Knox said that, and it's just gone. It was something competent and important.
But now you just can't get Big John's John out of your head.
Yep.
Holy
Big John's.
Yeah. There's the button I was looking for. There it is. There's the button I was looking for. So let's go ahead and roll into topic number two here. We're just going to skip the break for time. Yeah, I sent you all the link earlier. So the FBI and the Department of Justice seized control of a botnet.
Oh, they already seized it.
They got permission.
Okay.
The story was posted today, but real early in the morning, and I think they're outsourcing it, so I don't think they've actually done it yet. But
right.
the FBI got permission from a federal judge to take over a botnet. Not shut it down, not confiscate the servers. That's how they've been going after botnets, is they take over like the DNS names of the servers and stuff like that. No, they've actually got permission now to infiltrate it and take it over.
Oh, there's so many problems with this.
Well, the big one is that botnets are composed of innocent computers. Well, I say innocent, but they're people's property, private property. This is in direct violation. I do network security, right? The first thing they always drill into you, I mean, they always drill this into you, never hack back. Never hack back. Because the moment you do it, you lose all rights when you go to sue their ass in court.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, you hacked me, they hacked you. I mean, it's just,
don't actually lose your rights. It just makes the judge get a headache and yell at you and drop the law.
Basically.
But, you know, okay, so now the government's getting their fingers into everybody's computers that have been compromised. So, one, these people have compromised systems that the government probably should be telling them about, but no, they're just going to use them.
Well, they're claiming they're doing this for the purpose of shutting it down. That's what they're claiming.
No, they're claiming...
Yeah.
Well, this is strange. They might be using it to shut down other malware and viruses.
Well, you can do stuff. You can do botnet-to-botnet street fighting, but, I mean, it doesn't... Oh, okay, I've got the text of the story I sent you all right here. It's on Hackaday, and I'm just going to go ahead and do your job, Suave, and read it. Wrong show,
all right.
But I ought to make you read it. I so ought to make you read it, but...
Hell no.
That's what I thought.
Mispronunciated names and everything, too. I mean,
oh, that'd be
on.
Awesome. But let's see. The exact text on Hackaday is, looks like the FBI is starting to get pretty serious about fighting malware. Traditionally, they have attacked the servers that activate and control botnets that made up of infected computers. This time, they're going further by taking control and issuing commands to the botnets. That's the part that's getting us all in a huff here.
Yeah.
They're going after the Core Flood botnet, and they have been given permission by... to take the unheard of yet step by a federal judge. Now, this it's actually interesting that they're allowing it. Let me finish the article here. Outside company called Internet Systems Consortium has been tapped to do the actual work. Dude, can I set up like a government security network or government network security contractor? Because don't they like pay buku amounts of money for that shit?
Not only that, you don't really need any qualifications to do it.
But I've actually got them. And I know a crazy dude in a mask who can show up in meetings.
You know, I think we're overlooking something here. It comes down to the fact that we've been getting pretty messed up by the Chinese because they've been selling us routers with, you know, malware installed and basically running botnets at will. And this may be an attempt to, attack back. You know, the government might say, well, let's see how easy it is for us to overtake a botnet and use it to whatever purpose.
I'll touch on that in just a minute here. But, okay, where was I in the story? Let's finish this off. It would call upon malware on the infected computers and issue a command to shut it down. So they're claiming they're going to use this to shut it down. And this falls short of fixing the problem, as CoreFlood will try to phone home again on reboot. So in other words, they're going to shut down the agent without actually removing it. And we're not ever going to be able to stop malware, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they start bitching about not ever being able to stop malware until people learn to clean up their computers, which is true. But
absolutely.
There's all kinds of reasons. One, where do we want to start with this? To your point about Chinese computers, just because all the attacks are coming out of China, yes, their government does do hacking, and yes, they have been caught putting naughty firmware in routers and shit because it's all made over there. But it's not as much coming from them as you would think. The reason you see a lot of attacks coming out of places like Russia and China is there's a whole shitload of pirated Windows over there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know that's a big portion of it. But, it's hype, and then there's security folks who keep telling the same story to the government, and I guarantee you there's enough folks that are in charge of things that believe it. You know,
China is doing attacks, and they are doing, you know, state-sponsored hacking. Do not get me wrong. But not all of it coming out of China is Chinese, if that makes any sense.
Right.
And you know, the Chinese government is using their people's own computers because, again, it's they get the botnets on there because the botnet actually... Okay, fun exercise, people. Go pull down... Go on BitTorrent. Ooh, whoops.
Oh, you're already to the botnet.
Well, okay. What I was going to say is go on BitTorrent, pull down one of the pirated copies of Windows, put it in VM, and just run a scan against it without, you know... there's all kinds of reasons why that's a bad idea. Don't actually do this. Don't do it. For one, I don't want to get my ass sued. But two... Okay, in all honesty, if you go pull down those pirated copies of Windows... And throw them in a VM and then shut down the VM and run its disk image through an AV, you're going to find keyloggers, you're going to find backdoors, you're going to find accounts that shouldn't be there. And that's because these pirated Windows are pre-hacked. They're already hacked because the attackers have figured out it's much easier to get people to attack themselves than it is to try to spread worms.
Absolutely.
So, and in places where there is almost no checking of pirated software, like China, like lots of Africa, South America, Mexico, pretty much everywhere that's not the United States and most of the European countries, pretty much, because nobody else actually gives a shit about our intellectual property, whereas here we get nasty notes and ISPs saying, hey, quit it. So,
yeah, pretty much that's the rule.
But,
and I like how this story just ends off with a one-line XKCD reference.
Oh, yeah.
Go, say the reference, Knox.
I have to find... Correct?
Yeah, you can't
how
just leave us hanging like that.
Some black hat comes up with a countermeasure against this type of enforcement.
No, they've already got them. People who run botnets and people who try to stop botnets have been going round and round for years. That, you know, that's why they quit using IRC as CNC channels and started going to HTTP. Go look on Twitter sometime for It's actually really easy to find it. You will find botnet CNC traffic on Twitter because you'll find these oddball-looking Twitter accounts, which are like usually random-looking, and they're posting shit that's just a series of numbers or commands or, you know, just keywords. And it makes no sense whatsoever as a Twitter stream, but if you stop and think about that as being a botnet CNC channel, it makes perfect sense. So they're there.
Yeah, an RSS feed is a perfect way to...
yes, it is. Yes, it is. RSS is the way they do it. Most of them do it through an HTTP style connection. They run a server with a oddball. Usually, it's an oddball hacked up server that pretends to be a web server. But if you hit it in the web browser, you don't really get anything. And they'll usually hit a specific URL, and it responds, and they'll issue the commands that way. And
of course, there's already countermeasures in place against getting rid of those because, well, those are the people who know how to make good passwords.
Well, I've personally infiltrated a few botnets before, defensively, I should say. In my line of work, I happen to see a lot of strange traffic.
Don't do this at home, kid.
Well, I've gotten into them. I've actually discovered a couple and reported them to ShadowServe, and you know, these are older style IRC ones, and they're actually pretty easy to get into if you know what you're doing. And yeah, it's always great fun when you log in as, you know, into a botnet CNC channel with a really obvious handle like NetSec spelled in lead, because you couldn't think of anything better to put in the handle box before you logged in. And you know, nobody notices. And sit there. I have sat there in a botnet CNC channel and watched the botmasters argue with each other over shit. But you know, I was sitting there. It was like 2 p.m, and one of them was talking about going to bed. So it's like, well, either he's across the world or he keeps strange hours. So, but
yeah, you got to think about what time. Where in the world would it be like 5 o'clock in the morning for a hacker to go to bed?
Well, his English was pretty good, and well, I should say his bad English was pretty good. So if he wasn't. If he wasn't American or from America, he had a lot of American TV because he got the you know, he was cursing correctly.
Okay,
that's one way you can always tell when somebody's faking English is their curses and their expressions just are off. They're not right.
Right, because they have the different syntax, the different order,
right.
Operative order of syntax, so, which is easy to figure out. Yeah.
So, with FBI getting into a botnet, I'm not sure it bothers me so much seeing the FBI take it from whoever is running it, but do you really think they're just going to shut it down?
Oh, no. They're going to, and that's exactly my point. I think they're going to use it to deliver a payload somewhere or do something or actually just keep an eyeball on those infected machines, and hopefully they... you know, connect to other interesting things or watch the expansion of the botnet so that they can run their own.
Well, you're right. It would be kind of naive to think that they're not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. It's easy. And it would be a great way if they needed to go in and actually shut down a particular situation. So say we have one of those national emergencies and they're like, oh no, we've got something going on, blah, blah, blah. We want to actually keep misinformation on the internet, so we'll go out there and
they
we'll
can
just
already
flood
do
or,
that. H.P. Yeah. Gary sold them the program to make fake Facebook accounts, and like one person can manage 10 and they look like distinct and real individuals.
Exactly.
So
you can't do that already?
Oh, you can. It's just they made it easy.
Oops. Sorry.
That's your ringtone?
Yeah.
Hold that up. Play that again.
What?
Play that again.
Now I gotta go find the damn thing.
Quickly, somebody call him.
Yep.
Yep. But, where was I gonna go with this? Damn it, Heavy, your phone distracted me. I, like, need more or less alcohol. I'm not sure which, because I'm, like, easily distracted right now.
Yeah.
Malware, FBI. I don't. Well, you know, okay. It's just I'm not saying like I don't. I honestly think that like the judge issuing this and the FBI. I think they're actually trying to do something good. I think they honestly think they're going to help.
Oh yeah.
but I just can't see them. I can't see them handling it properly. But then again, too, I mean, it's been a little while. Maybe they've started hiring people who know what's up.
That's true.
It's entirely possible. I guess the thing is, though, we're never really going to know because they're never going to tell us how they actually handle this. Like, now they've got the permission. Nothing they do with this botnet is ever going to be made public.
Oh, of course not. Well, holy shit.
That was R2 screaming.
Leave the poor droid alone.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Well, you know what? I want to make my ringtone, right?
Free space. Exactly.
Of course.
So either everybody's going to know what that's from and be very tired of it, or they're not going to know what it's from, and then they'll go back and listen to this after they finally beat that game and be like, oh.
Yeah.
So, awesome game, by the way, for those of you who know what I'm playing those sound effects from.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, let's see here. Actually, you know, I think we are going to take a short little break here because we kind of blew through both those topics a little bit quick. So, about a minute break here, and then we'll come back and wrap up the show. We've got about, 15 left here. So let me just pull up the call and mute it, and mute my own mic, and we'll start the music. Just a little bit of TacCraft for us tonight.
Feels like I'm waiting for a funeral. That rapture of tension, choking the air. Tastes like vodka mixed with nitroglycerin. Sounds like horns that echo. With a shot glass filled with ice, a little kiss to tell me that my heart is broken still. My mind just won't sleep, just tosses and turns, and tells me that I'm free, but I'd rather be in love. Expect the unexpected and burn whatever's left. Little twitches and winks from witches in the night make me feel like Casanova. That isn't right. What's left for a man who loves to hate now that he's lost that love? Now he hates to hate, but hates with greater fervor. A heart like mine is delicate as a fist in a velvet glove, softly breaking every bone that I need to stand. Feels like I'm waiting for something to snap. Feels like I'm waiting for a funeral. And this time, it might be mine.
Okay, just a quick little break there. So let me... Oops, that's still playing. There we go. And let me bring our call back up. All right, everybody still there?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I'm still here. Let's see here.
Eddie, I just noticed your recorder is not in the call.
Did it crash out?
It must have.
Yep.
I've still got mine. Looks good, I'm hoping. So, no worries. We're live. Fuck it, we'll do it live. I need that on the soundboard.
Yeah, you do.
So, anyways, though, Heavy, you
actually,
were...
Actually...
Go ahead.
I'm actually looking at the recording here, and where we dropped out is right at about the... Oh, actually, not too bad. So I lost maybe about 10 minutes.
You lost 10 minutes. Well, I... Whatever. Whatever. It's just...
Yeah, anyways.
It's the battle.
Maybe a third of it.
There you go. There's your... Yes, I'm receiving a call from the future.
Is oh, fuck. Okay. Now that that's out of the way, Heavy, you were telling us about this before the call started, but I just found an article about it. So they said Michigan police are copying your cell phone when they pull you over?
Yeah, they basically got a device where they're coming in and they're jacking into the cell phone, and then they're copying all of the data on the phone, and the FOIA requests have been getting bounced back and denied, you know, obviously right now, because they clearly didn't want people to know about this. And so essentially...
what were they looking for?
I don't think they're looking for anything.
I think they've just been, from what I've been reading, they've just been doing it as a like standard procedure when they pull somebody over and stuff like that.
With just like, you know, license, registration, and give me your fucking phone?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'd be like, excuse
me? Border crossing, too. I heard that mentioned. I don't know if they're actually doing that, but I know they've been doing that with laptops and stuff, doing dumps of data.
Huh. Wait, I knew at the border between like U.S. and Canada, they were doing that kind of stuff. I mean, are they doing it between just like any random checkpoints now?
Oh, I don't know about that. As far as the laptops go, I think that's only at the international border.
Yeah, they're looking for kiddie porn, which,
yeah.
You know, as much as I love seeing people with kiddie porn, you know, get sent to federal ram in the ass prison, I would posit that that's not an effective way to find it.
Yeah.
That's
pretty much the same as like going into somebody's house and photocopying all of their records. You know, like
yeah, I mean, especially just a traffic stop, because like they're going in and they're copying your phone. Now, it went back in the days when your cell phone was just your numbers, your text messages, and you know your call history. Well, they already could have gotten that from the phone company, anyways. But these days, my phone has all kinds of stuff on it. It has my email, it has my Twitter feeds, it has it's got my entire social graph on it.
Oh yeah, it's got all your text record of your text messages, all that.
Oh
sort
yeah,
of
the
stuff.
Cameras.
You're
too.
Not supposed to be walking in those railroad tunnels, so they'll probably get me on that.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about the camera till you just said that, Knox. So I guess, don't just because it's digital, do I give up my right to, you know, search and seizure? I don't think that's the case. I'm pretty sure that the Bill of Rights there says we have a right to, not to be searched without a warrant.
Remember, traffic stops are. Pretty damn atrocious in legal stance as they are anyway.
Well, I know that's the reason they, you know, when a cop pulls you over, they said, you know how fast you were going to see if you'll say, oh, I don't know, maybe five over, because guess what? That's a legal confession.
Yeah.
Except you also need a complaint about it because it's a misdemeanor and they can't really stop you for that.
Right.
Well, they do. Of course, they have the gun, so and firing back's not exactly a great idea. So. It's like, sir, I don't believe you had the right to pull me over, and I've got the double barrel. So that will end well.
You sit there and wait for his boss. Bring me a magistrate.
There's actually quite a bit of intimidation that goes into a traffic stop. And I think part of it is, well, you're going to need to give me that. What's the appropriate language? Because it's all about language in the verbal judo. It's like, ma'am, I need you to hand me your cell phone right now. Or, sir, I need you to hand me your cell phone right now. And it's psychological. You're not asking for it. You're telling them to do it. So that's part of it. So we talked about social engineering before. The cops do it all the time. You can say no. Essentially, at that point, they have to make the decision. Do they really want to do all the paperwork to actually, if they want to bring you in and seize all of your stuff anyway, they can do that. Right. But then they're going to be justifying everything and paperwork.
Well, okay.
So, there's some really good guides online on how to deal with traffic stops and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, there's some great
YouTube
videos.
Like, know your
rights
and how to actually deal with that. Because it's very important. Because 90% of the time, they're able to pretty much bluff their way into forcing you to allow them to do a search on your vehicle, even if you've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, and you know, truth be told, I watched this great series of YouTube videos on basically just telling you why you should never actually voluntarily talk to the police. Because if it was serious enough that they need your statement, they'll get it from you in court anyways. So, you know, they were saying, but the base. The very most basic level of what this guy was saying was that our legal system is not perfect, and it is so convoluted that you're probably breaking some law or regulation anyways without even knowing it. When you go talking to the police trying to clear up something, you know, like they're asking you about, you know, if they make an error in their filing, it suddenly looks like you're lying, or if you happen to remember something wrong, or if they get somebody who's got bad eyesight that says, oh no, that person was over there, you know, they can call your testimony into question.
And well, all of our, although we've had issues with this before, all of our cars have video recording and audio recording devices, so there's that evidence.
True. Well, I mean, most cars do. All the cop cars around here do too. And in fact, fun tip for everybody out there who knows to look for this: a lot of places are putting out mesh networking Wi-Fi in the cities for their cops to use and other emergency services. And they use this to pull up your records and stuff in the car. That way, they don't have to wait on the cell signal. It's faster.
Right.
So, you know, the radar detector, you know, those are always hit and miss. But if they've got their laptop on and you happen to have, like, say, you know, NetStumbler or Wi-Fi Fofum, you can see their laptop.
Oh.
I've been playing around with some war driving stuff again here lately. And I noticed the mesh networks that were up for all the city and emergency services. And when I went by a cop, you just saw it on the meter. You just, you know, glancing at the screen, you see the client signal come up, get real strong when he's next to you, then back off as you drive past him.
Although the Wi-Fi range isn't big enough for that to actually work as a radar detector or anything like that.
Honestly, you shouldn't speed in the first place because you're going to get a ticket.
You should also probably have your radar detector / jammer that you bought before they were illegal.
most of our cops are trained, and they do this pretty decently. And this is pretty rock solid as far as court data goes. They just pace you. They'll just come and hide up in your blind spot and pace you for a little bit, and then they'll say, well, I was going 85 miles an hour pacing this individual. And then they don't have to screw around with, did they update their radar gun software, or did they do any of this other stuff? Which, by the way, is a good defense, and it works.
It's all
a good setup. A police camera, dash camera, will also have all their dashboard gauges on it.
True.
Exactly.
Well, I was also thinking, you know, when the cops pull you over, if you throw your cell phone in the floorboards under the seat, so it's out of sight, when you don't give them permission to search your vehicle, it's not in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they need a warrant.
Exactly.
But that said, you know, I mean, I don't actually have a problem with most
cops. They also
cops.
Need a warrant
it's just,
to actually touch your phone.
Yeah.
Look at what's on the screen right now.
But no, I'd say a good like 95% of all police officers out there are out there to make the world a better place.
Yeah, it's not that I have a problem with them.
It's just the few assholes are the ones that make up all the others.
Well, it's not even that. Go ahead, Knox.
The sheriff's office here has admitted that they lose money every traffic stop they make. The reason they're even doing it still is they're getting 90% of their outstanding warrants through those.
That's a good point. No, what I was going to say is it's not even that most cops are assholes or anything like that. Most of them aren't. But it's their job is designed to catch bad guys. And the more bad guys they catch, the better they look. And, you know, honestly, most cops, when they pull you over, they don't know you from anybody. So, you know, as far as they're concerned, you give them the excuse, you're just another bad guy. So you've really got to watch it because it's really easy to get yourself in trouble with them.
Yeah, I lifted the handbooks of the couple of the police academy members here and looked through them, and there's nothing in those things that actually corresponds with law. It's all about catching bad guys.
Well, yeah, but you know, cops aren't actually most cops don't even actually have to know the law. They get like, you know, a little handbook that's like, you know, 10 pages long about what they actually do.
And
it's up to lawyers to interpret the law. They just catch you.
That handbook is all in pictures.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're not expected to be lawyers. They are expected to be, I don't know, enforcement.
Yeah, did you, you know, I mean, and that's exactly what it is. Are you endangering the public right now?
Are you
and
endangering
kind
the,
of?
Yeah, and then they collect evidence, but usually that's why they have, you know, inspectors and detectives. They're a little bit more trained in that, but
right.
You know, so it's not that I'm not bad-mouthing them. I'm really not. I'm just, you know, people don't understand the system they're interacting with, and you know, it's just like hacking. You have to understand the system you're interacting with if you want to win.
If you're driving a boring vehicle, so that means you folks in the sports cars and red vehicles are screwed. But if you're driving a boring vehicle and you look like you're commuting to work, you can do 10 miles and over the speed limit and you will get ignored by police officers.
Yeah. You know? Probably.
I've noticed that full on. I drive a Ford Focus. Well, my sister actually drove like a 1965 VW Beetle. Guess who got pulled over like 10 times more than the other?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I used to drive a Ford Focus, and I got pulled over in one, but I was the only person on the road. I was pulled over for doing 2 miles over. It was It was midnight, and when the cop pulled me over, this was in Indiana, he goes, "I thought I told you not to go speeding through here last week." I'm like, "Sir, I've never seen you before in my life. I don't honestly know what you're talking about." "Oh, no, I pulled you over last Saturday." "Sir, I wasn't even in this state last Saturday, and I got a ticket."
Focus is a pretty common vehicle.
Well, what it was I was the only one on the road, and he obviously was just looking to get somebody. Yeah. And I guess he was trying to confuse me, or he honestly thought I was someone else, which the moment he ran my license plate, he should have known I wasn't. But,
right.
I got a ticket.
Oh, well.
And it was that, because I didn't. I guess I was supposed to be like, "Oh yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir," and something like that. I don't know. I think that one was just generally an asshole. Most of them are not like that. So
yeah, I've never heard of somebody getting a ticket for going 2 miles over the limit.
Oh yeah, it was 2 miles over. So the actual ticket itself was like $10, but then it was $200 in court costs.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
That was a bad day.
Well, yeah.
You can get tickets going 5 miles under. If it's raining, in some places. So
well, how did we got on there because of the cops in Michigan grabbing cell phones. Okay, although we are out of time, we're going to roll straight into newsreel, and because I'm still working on the broadcasting setup, the stream is going to drop. So we're just going to basically clip it off here and roll straight into newsreel, guys. Thanks for being on the show tonight, and I got the short closer here.
I'm going to hop into Second Life.
Me too. So we want to end the call?
I'm still recording.